Did you know that the Tennessee Volunteers won a championship in college baseball last night? Were you aware?
The first number one seed to do so since the previous millennium, no less.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you my favorite stat? And this is like, this might have gone up heading into the series. This might be higher now. There were like, how many teams are there in D1 baseball? Like 300?
7,000.
Yes.
Something like that. I think there's 250, they said at some point in the broadcast, teams that don't have a single player who's hit 20 home runs this season. Guess how many Tennessee has?
405.
Oh my God, we're never going to see anything like this again. That was incredible.
I
feel like I just watched 2019 LSU in baseball form.
Can I verify this? Because I wrote a little bit about it, but I just wanted to make sure. There are certain kind of teams that feel like well-built, long-standing results of long-standing work and design.
Yeah, that's A&M.
I can see the spreadsheet.
This is not what it means in football. When I say they're very well coached, they are architected.
Right.
Right.
And I understand that Tennessee has some of those same things too, that they use analytics, that they definitely build their team with a certain thing in mind and with various measurables, schedules, etc.
Right, but that is getting a little bit overwhelmed by the woo.
by the van by the river
aspects.
Correct.
Of the program.
Right. That I assumed, this is the one thing I love about college baseball that I also love about college football, is that I assume everybody at any point can play any position if they need to, right? Like, you'll see the third baseman one inning, and then he comes over and pitches, and then he's in the dugout with a fur coat the next. Or like, everybody's multitasking in the way that I love it when college football teams have to have a defensive lineman kick extra points. Mm-hmm. I love that. And college baseball has tons of that.
That's the one thing I like about pro baseball is like when they run out of pitchers.
It's the fifth string quarterback of baseball. You have to have an outfielder come in and throw a solid third of an inning.
Mm-hmm. When Bartolo is batting.
Yes.
You need to go back and watch the clip of his first home run because it is the single happiest moment in sports.
Anything is possible.
It happens, and even the announcers are like, yes! Finally! I think everyone in the stands, too, is like, so blessed. Like, so blessed. I'm so glad to be alive on this day. I think everyone in the dugout disappears. There's some baseball tradition where, like, they all run away from him. Like, no.
Don't touch him.
Don't touch him. It's too much.
He's too full of good luck right now.
He's toxically lucky. Don't get near him.
He's like Ark of the Covenant kind of thing.
Yeah. But my point being, sometimes there are teams for whom you can't tell me the design because it's basically like the dude's rock is too strong. You know?
His what?
The dude's rock just gets too strong.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the dude possessive apostrophe S rock. A rock belonging to a dude.
The wizard holding the enchanted stone is indeed too powerful and overloads my faculties.
Clemson has that. They have a rock that belongs to a dude. They have a dude's rock. Sorry, go ahead.
You know another dude who was a rock to many, Jason?
Who?
That'd be Peter.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the God Emperor of Mankind.
No, that's obvious now that he's literally a decaying rock.
You said was, not is.
Yeah, was. Yeah. He'll be back, though. He'll be back. Or has he ever left?
He's still on the job, as I understand.
Yeah, he's still on the job, man. He's probably, like Gabbo.
How does it feel to be the newest national champion in all of college sports?
It was, I've told this story before. I've told both these stories before. The first is how, in 1998, I was sick, just like I am right now, and my dad stayed home from the Fiesta Bowl and propped me up in his lazy boy Barca lounger, whatever, in the den, and sat on the floor beside me. And that's how we watched the championship game, with me like bundled up in a blanket. And my dad could have been at the Fiesta Bowl. And instead, he stayed home with me. And this week I asked him if he wanted to go to Omaha. And he's like, no, that's too stressful. And I was like, I was raised by you, so I agree. And then the night before game, or the morning of game three, I'm like, we could still make it. And he's like, I absolutely do not want to go to Omaha. And I was like, okay, I understand. And then after the game, I'm like, do you wish we'd gone? He was like, no. But do you know the kind of, like, you? I'm not sure there's quantifiable the amount of, like, joyous jubilation voodoo that's pouring out of this team. Do you know, and I assume Texas A&M offsets this somewhat. Do you know what kind of devil magic we had to be working with to overcome A, having Peyton present at the game, because we know what happens there. B, having Morgan fucking Wallen in the university president's box. Now, I don't know how much of that Texas A&M cancels out, because it has to be a good bit, but that's a heavy psychic lift to overcome what we do and do not get from the universe.
I wonder if the two of those gentlemen cancel each other out in some way.
I saw people, in case you think this is going to change us, immediately after this game went final, the factions immediately split into the curse is over and shut up, you're gonna wake up a new curse.
Yeah. Careful there.
Saying the curse is over creates a new curse. To be fair, I'm in the second camp. I'm not making fun of these people. Man, that was great. I didn't get to go. I didn't get to watch the game with my dad because I was ill again. I don't know why this keeps happening. Maybe I'm like the child empress of Tennessee baseball. I don't know. But I got to just sit on FaceTime after and say nothing. That was great. That was really great.
Yes.
I don't have an arch thing to say about it. That was fucking awesome, and I don't think we're ever going to see anything like it again.
It feels like you're doing a lot of basking.
Yeah.
People don't get to bask
enough. Feels good, man. Also, my God, it's been a long time since I was on the wrong side. I was on the business end of a Texas A&M online situation. Because we got a lot of friends over there, and it kind of makes me forget what they're like. But David Ubbin, at some point before the game, said something to the effect of, yeah, whoever wins is going to record this as a stunning victory over the national media that never wanted them to succeed. And his mentions just fill up with both sides going, that's not funny.
Of course you'd say that.
National media puppet
reporter.
We've been shoulder to shoulder with Texas A&M for so long now because the Good Bull hunting people are such a good time that I just kind of forgot what they're like. And that was, oh God, that was fun.
Can I tell you one thing that I like watching about this? And it's the same thing I enjoyed watching.
Is it watching both of us turn on Texas? Because that was the other favorite part.
No. I think it was the Paul Maurice, the manager of the Florida Panthers, who won
this
the Stanley
Cup.
This
is not about baseball.
No, it is. Okay. It's watching people try to process happiness. Because I think
I'm having a problem. It's not done yet. I got too much Dayquil in me.
It is so rare, and it is so much more powerful and different than people expect when they win and when something good happens, that a lot of the time no one knows what to do with it. That includes Tony Vitello. Last night,
he turned around, like, the second thing he says in his post-game interview, and it's so awesome that Chris Budden got to be there for this, who lived in Knoxville for a little bit, that she got to come back and do the series. That was awesome. But, like, the second thing Tony says when Chris gets him on the mic, he turns around, he's like, holy shit, I'm on the Jumbotron!
Yeah. He had no clue what to do.
Also, I'm always struck when he speaks. I'm never used to this. That man has, like, 80% less of an accent than you think he should.
Yeah. Yeah, and had no idea how to celebrate, so his players just interrupted the interview, like, midstream, and just doused him with Gatorade.
No, because his dad was a real mean old bastard, and you watch him try and process that in real time on the air.
Yeah.
Woo. And he was there. His dad was there, and you got to see him finally go up and give him the I finally love you, son, hug.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, when Paul Maurice was asked about what it was like to win the Stanley Cup, after coaching since 1995, by the way, and not winning anything, and getting fired by his...
Oh, saw this. Is this where he said, this is much fucking better, or something?
Oh, no, this was during the... He said that afterwards when asked about what the difference between last year and this year was. Mm. But the most fascinating thing to me, he they said, well, what is it like? You know, they used your standard, what is it like to win after all of this? And he looked genuinely stunned for a minute and he goes, it's different. Mm-hmm. And I love that because it's not, you know, oh, hey, listen, we kicked ass. No, he took a real moment to think about it and was like, I was not prepared for this. It's so much. And then he said, it's so much better than I thought it was going to be.
Last night was really the last good night of sports we're going to have for weeks, right?
Olympics are coming up.
Oh, right. Never mind. Go swimming.
Woo. I watched hockey. Did Holly, I know you were busy.
I tried to flip over, and because we finished like right before the hockey game wound up, and I did initially change the channel, and then I was like, this is too stressful.
I could not
hang on with it. It was too much. I was completely, depleted.
It was the advertised Game 7 experience.
Yeah.
All the storylines, Canada hasn't won in a thousand years, and the 3-0 comeback thing and all that. But, like, man, I was just so locked in on Sunrise, Florida. Mm-hmm. Is the heart and capital of a sport conceived in Scandinavia for Canadians. Like, when Sigurdsson, the bone king, 1,000 years ago invented ice hockey. Yes. How, you know, who would have ever imagined that, like, across the street from an outlet mall where there's like a Popeyes and a Spencer's and a Protestant church, like, that is the heart of hockey. Like, it's like palm trees all the way down.
Just like Hockey Town USA, and there's a Stuckey's in the background.
Yeah. It, like, Metro Fort Lauderdale is the capital of hockey. I love it.
There's something in an epic poem about this, right? Like,
yeah, it's in the...
Lo, my father, do I see the Stuckies. Lo, my father.
Odin saw this shit and clawed his eye out.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't have it. He was like, oh, hell no.
That's actually
like,
take
my other eye.
His staff is just a pecan roll.
That's
it. He's holding in one hand.
Yeah, this is the future that Fat Thor foretold, right? That
this is when Loki turned into an alligator.
Yes. Yeah.
Why? Because he was going to the Stanley Cup Finals, located next to the Everglades.
Scandinavia, Florida.
Oh,
got a lot
of
swamps.
We got our first Finnish captain, do we not?
Yes.
That's exciting for our particular audience. We got Finns in the house.
That's right. Finns in the house. We had our first Finnish captain.
Oh, my! I can't believe Jimmy Buffett didn't live to do a rendition of Finns. We're going to have to do it ourselves in his honor. I think he would like it.
In Finnish. Give us 3 years to get the grammar right.
Finns.
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 Jimmy Buffett with an umlaut.
Jimmy
Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett.
Yes.
Jimmy Buffett.
Natural friends, the Finns and Jimmy Buffett.
The swim Finns.
Yes. Where's my beautiful story about being stuck in rally car Aritaville?
Margaritaville with 9 umlauts.
I'm imagining a Margaritaville with like a hockey rink where the pool is.
Yeah.
This is just kind of my mental picture of this game because I saw about 30 seconds of it.
Mead Aritaville.
There we go.
Just I'm just all honked off on cheeseburgers and aquavit.
Cheeseburgers and aquavit.
Oh, that one blew up on the launch pad.
That was all over.
That was a SpaceX opening.
That was a unique interpretation.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast.
Pushing through
through the Midsummer Night's Cold that I've got. This is Spencer Hall. I am joined this
week.
This
is what's left of Spencer Hall.
What's left of me after that.
The former Spencer Hall.
Listen, there's no rockets without busting a few rocket eggs, if you know what I mean. No rocket omelets.
No, I don't know what you mean.
No
Please
rocket
elaborate.
Omelets without breaking a few rocket eggs. I am joined, as always, by Jason Kirk, Holly Anderson, and on the ones and twos, Michael Serber. We are the
Ryan
only.
Ryan Annie has been bullied off the show by me, finally.
Finally, at
Ryan
last.
Is celebrating extremely Metro Tampa.
Oh, yeah, he had to do a pilgrimage. Hockey. I forgot.
What's he doing?
He went home to Tampa to celebrate the hockey.
Oh, good.
That's true.
Incredibly Metro Tampa.
Yeah.
Tampa's primary sport, catalytic converter theft.
You can't tell me one of those cities is eventually going to sprawl into the other. I know they're a good bit apart, but eventually we are going to have a coast-to-coast Florida metropolis.
I mean, they are better at hockey than anything else, Tampa.
Yeah.
It's true. Hockey capital
and they
of
have,
the world.
They have, it must be said, they have their sports teams do have sick city-specific uniforms.
They really do.
Which not it brings me no. Like I have looked through that shop more than once and been like, I would proudly sport this Tampa Bay merch.
Oh yeah, I got the skateboard Devil Ray.
Oh wait, you actually have it?
Yeah. We got this,
oh hell
this
yes,
Skate Ray, which is like, oh my god, this is my favorite Pokemon ever.
The skateboard Devil Ray.
Skate Ray gear.
Oh, that was the other thing that happened. Tennessee fans crashed the bookstore's website last night trying to buy Omaha merch.
Well, I know they're not crashing it to buy books.
Woo!
Today that's a celebration. You think that's an insult. They're like, hell no!
Well, you mean you need the commemorative book about the season that you got to buy whenever you win the title.
Man, they're whatever. Still selling magnets about the Bama game year before last, which I applaud because I really do think that was the psychic turning point.
Something cracked in that game, yeah.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick's a giver. Just a little something for you on the way out.
I've heard that about him.
Yep. See?
Oh,
listen.
God. At one point in the game, as if to punish him for showing up, because for those of you just joining us, every time Peyton shows up to a big Tennessee function, the team in question fucks up. This includes when retiring Peyton's jersey.
When was that?
It was a tragic loss to a Steve Spurrier. No, it was a Will Muschamp South Carolina loss. Ooh. I'm pretty sure.
There
was
a lot
bad.
Of those, though.
It was real bad.
So it was one of the, like, seven of those?
Yeah. Thank you, Jason. Thank you. I'm glad that your face isn't on here right now.
My computer was
I tried to punch it with my tiny little fist.
Computer was being all janky.
Yeah.
Kind of like South Carolina, baby.
Yeah. Anyway, at one point, Peyton has Morgan Wallen on one side and Rick Barnes on the other side. And if you've ever seen a Rick Barnes interview, Rick Barnes does not have thoughts that do not immediately fall out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick Barnes is like, and Morgan Wallen's on the other side just going, well, why can't I say it is all I'm saying. And I'm just like, I hope he's enjoying himself. If his presence is going to stress me out, he might as well be stuck between those two. I didn't see Morgan Wallen at the end of the game, but all the chairs in the stadium were bolted down, so I don't know what he could have done to get in trouble.
Not his kind of scene, yeah.
Mm-mm. I didn't know he was allowed to leave the state, honestly.
That dude, you could not. Like, I saw him last night, and I have heard him sing. Still could not pick him up out of a lineup.
No, that's the point. There's a TikTok about this that a young woman of Tennessee extraction has helpfully made about how to spot Morgan Wallen. Like, how to identify him. And it does involve going to baseball practice and going, which one of you spits nicotine packets into garbage cans because you think it will impress girls, and using that to narrow down the field.
That's the starting point?
Yeah. I'll post it along with the... I'll forget to do this like we do over time, but I say right now that I will post this along with the episode so that you, too, can identify and avoid Morgan Wallen in the field.
But that this person will sing a cover of a Lynyrd Skynyrd song so beautifully that it draws a tear to your eye.
That you'll forget it's Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Yeah, that you'll forget it's Lynyrd Skynyrd. You'll just be like, oh my god, how can this person sing?
And she goes, yeah, so then you replicate that you take the nicotine packet spitting boys, and you make them all sing, tell them to sing whatever they want, take the ones that sing Lynyrd Skynyrd without being asked to, replicate that process 50 times, audition those boys, and then you have Morgan Wallen.
Sounds easy enough.
It's a scientific method. Yeah.
And yet y'all overcame it to win a title. Like that's
we've talked about this. I know you've heard this story. My father, who has he doesn't think this is grim. He talks about it all the time. I'm the one that it gets uptight every time he talks about this. My dad has outlived all the men in his family by a good bit at this point, and likes to congratulate this about himself. But the problem with this actuarially is that, based on the timetable, he should have died during the Jeremy Pruitt era, and Jeremy Pruitt did his very best to try and help this along.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I don't even remember which Jeremy Pruitt-based fuck-up this was, but my father, who is the most important person to me on this planet, looked me dead in the eye and said, "I don't think I'm ever going to see another enjoyable Tennessee athletic season as long as I live." And sure, I've had that on my heart for that long.
So you're trying to say you got two great pleasures at once, which you'd got to tell your father.
Jeremy Pruitt didn't kill my daddy.
You got to say, "Look, Dad, we're getting to share this great moment," and you also got to say, "I was right."
Oh, I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that because, listen, you remember what happened when we tried to move our family matriarch to a home, and she was like, "Nuh-uh," and we were like, "Yeah-huh," and she was like, "I'm gonna die on the spot."
And did?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, no. That's that side of the family. I'm not messing with their magic.
She had a poster's heart, by the way.
She did have a poster's heart. This is
I will delete my account. User is no longer found.
This is the aunt who had double replacement knee surgery, and the little old men at the country club would complain that she was golfing too slow. So she bought a golf cart, had it custom painted like neon pink, and spent the literal rest of her life buzzing them on the cart path every time. Like, she would deliberately drive poorly around them and veer off the cart path towards them every time she saw them walking. Like, "Sorry! Who's slow now?"
I would have the Wicked Witch of the music blasting, right? Wicked Witch of the...
No, she would never.
I think I'd go, "They See Me Rolling."
Okay, you say that, I will tell you one more fact. Her favorite athlete was Steven Jackson.
Real.
She loved that man.
Real.
Like, had a jersey Steven Jackson.
Like, pre-brawl Steven Jackson?
And post-brawl Steven Jackson.
No, I was going to say, like, I think there might have been people
for whom... No, she was up there with the Steven
That was the
Jackson
selling point,
did,
but she was on board.
She was up there with the Steven Jackson did nothing wrong choir.
She was on board well ahead of time.
She was like, "They're in his house."
That's impressive as hell. I don't know. Congratulations.
Anyway, no, I'm not going to taunt my father into death because he'll do it.
Just congratulations to all y'all. That's amazing.
Fuck yes. Oh, just a galactic assembly of shit kickers, the likes of which we will never see again. I started to get sad in like the third inning because I was like, I just want to watch this team play forever. I hate what baseball does to us. I hate it. I don't like it. I'm down here with the rest of you.
No, look who's got feelings.
Shut up! Look who's got something else.
Let me talk about this, which is that I think that these teams do...
I'm gonna play Sudoku about it.
These teams do exist in college football. You do get teams that I think kind of transcend the notion of being like a well-recruited machine, and that you just go, "Yeah, I don't know, they just get out there and they just beat shit, they just womp on stuff, and I don't know, one time they got a title, may not be a dynasty, may not even be a champion, to be honest, but like, you look at it and go, yeah, damn, that beat everything." So for instance, I kind of think, and this is maybe a surprise answer, but is it the 2022 Georgia defense? That whole team?
The one that could fucking teleport?
Yeah, because that offense wasn't great. It wasn't the 2020... Like, Stetson Bennett 2023 was a really good quarterback.
They didn't have... The offense wasn't world-beating, but N'Kobe Dean could take one step off the hash mark and be at the opposite hash mark.
Correct.
And I personally found that impressive.
And also, they just beat people up. Like, that seemed to be the plan. If you looked at what they were running a lot of the time, they did have all of the sort of, like, big brain Nick Saban Kirby Smart blitzes. They did have some of that. But most of the time when they got in trouble, it was like, I need you to play cover one and go out and tackle somebody. See, like, and this, it worked.
This was Michigan's offense last year.
Yeah.
Michigan teams often devolve, I think, for one cultural reason or another, into just a bunch of hairy winning machines out there. But last year, offensively, absolutely, Jason.
This is also like, well, up until last year when we tried to do it from the start of the year and it didn't work out, but this is like the previous half decade where we all look up in mid-October and go, hey, do we love Utah?
Utah does this every year.
Well, last year we tried to follow them from the start, remember, and it didn't work. So we have to keep, we can't look directly at them is what we
Everybody got hurt, so.
Yeah, because we were looking at them.
Yeah. Let's test it this year. If everybody gets hurt again this year, that'll definitely confirm it.
Then we'll have to avert our eyes for protocol.
But then we will have done harm, Jason, by intentionally turning our hurtful gaze toward them. I'm going to follow the Hippocratic Oath here and just pretend they don't exist for a month.
What if we half of us look at them and we see if they get half as injured?
And then we see who's the problem.
It's probably, or that.
Yeah, it's probably me. Actually, be wild if it was Ryan. Like, if actually,
yeah, you're too genial to curse. It's probably going to be Ryan.
We have a natural control here. Ryan's not on this podcast.
Oh. Yeah, so don't let him in on the plan.
Yeah, so everybody, please, including I know those of you with
wait. So should we tell the listeners to tell Ryan that he should pay more attention to Utah,
regardless
or less?
Of what we do? They're going to say what we're saying right now in a hope to curry some imaginary points with him.
Not realizing that everyone hates a snitch.
Folks, just tell Ryan something about Utah. How about that? And then on the Reddit, there will be a thing about, like, why do they all hate Utah?
Yeah.
I think that Split Zone splitting up their personnel for the summer into all these single wings has ported all of the drama queens from Split Zone's listenership, and they are myriad. Over to us.
Why would you ever want to imagine drama with Alex Kirshner and Stephen Godfrey in the same room? Like, Richard's so genial, I can't even factor him into this, right? But like,
oh no, I'm saying they're done. They're done with that for the moment, and they've ported it onto us, which is adorable. And they're going to do it again now that we've mentioned it.
I don't speak for anybody else. Let me just say, my ADD is way too powerful to hold a grudge. What grudge? Ooh, a bird.
See, this is the thing. I've already forgotten what the
squirrel.
Last one was. It was like somebody didn't laugh at somebody, and that means that they are the least loved.
Oh, yeah, that happens. Yeah. Oh, I've seen God. A few on there like that.
It probably means there was a squirrel.
There was one this past week that was like me and Ryan having a pronunciation war about sherbet.
Oh, yeah, somebody thought that Ryan was being passive-aggressive by pronouncing sherbet that way the whole time. Like,
or something like that, yeah.
What?
Well, it was a thing on the Reddit, and I was like, I was pronouncing it all sorts of ways for fun. I did not realize that I was stepping on anyone's terrain by doing so. Which, like,
I thought that Spencer was saying it Sherbert the whole time as a bit, and it turns out he didn't even know he was doing it.
No, I've always said it like that.
So that I didn't mention it on the show because I thought Spencer was doing a funny.
Yeah, I just it's
and,
the
which
Reddit
means
is
I did
very,
not hear you or Ryan.
Yeah, the Reddit is very entertaining to me because it's like it's almost like. Is everything okay? are they fighting? Are they actually mad at each other? And it's like, then I have to think about like what could even be perceived as anger. I don't
what's know. Really, really funny is that there have been long stretches of the show where we have been fighting and y'all never knew.
Never knew.
Nope. Sorry.
All of 2015.
Pros.
I don't know.
Yeah. Y'all go back and listen for the, now you can get to see it here. We're gonna goose engagement.
Yes, this is how we goose the back catalog.
You go back and listen. I need all of you to listen to the entire back catalog.
I can think of past stretches where I've been screaming mad individually at every single person on this show, and no one in the audience has ever clocked it, as far as I know. And I know that's mutual for at least three of you.
Yes, I was dead for 8 episodes in a row. No one noticed.
I was absent for 6 months, replaced by a robot of my own design.
My entire premise on this show involved my entire entrance to this show in a permanent porch cat capacity involved me playing Nintendo and yelling contributions from the next room. And now I'm being told I'm not paying enough attention.
Did we bang the Jason robot? That's between me and the Jason robot, okay?
I haven't heard anything about that, but that is between you two.
Yeah.
I guess.
It is, unless it's...
Can robots...
I will claim credit for anything that was performed admirably, though.
Well, buddy, you got some credit to claim.
In that case.
Yeah. That robot and I made love.
All right.
See, I miss Ryan, because Ryan would bomb in right here with something that's way more upsetting than anything either of you have said after being silent for 3 minutes.
He would, but he's busy celebrating the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup celebration in Tampa.
Special boy.
Yeah.
They took the Stanley Cup into the beach and took it into the ocean. This is no longer...
Wait, did they really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that.
Wait. Isn't there just... Okay, it is my understanding... There's only one Stanley Cup every year, and they just carve a new name on it, right? Every team doesn't get one the year they win it, right? So if they were to lose this in the ocean, it's gone, right?
The Stanley Cup has been stolen.
That would
before.
Be the end of hockey.
Yeah.
No, but like if they dropped it off the side of a party boat in the bay or whatever, it's fucking gone, right? There's not a backup. This
hockey
is not just
would,
one that goes in their trophy case.
Hockey would then belong to Florida forever.
All of Canada would send every resource they have to recover the cup.
That's the only way they're going to win it.
Yeah,
Elon would show up with his submersible, being like,
"Canada's never touching it otherwise."
Yeah. So has it been dropped repeatedly all the time? It's been dropped.
How do they sanitize it, or do they?
I don't think they do. It's hockey.
That's comforting. Yeah.
Yeah. It has been in 2022. Somebody fucking dropped it on the ice during the celebration. When the Edmonton Oilers won in 87, Mark Messier took it to a local bar. A bunch of rowdy Canadians ended up punching it because they were just drinking and happy.
Wait, just punching
no,
the cup?
They dented it. They dented it while they
with
were.
With their fists?
When the I Bruins won it in 2011, the cup fell from Michael Ryder's table where it was sitting. And...
The
was
cup.
Damaged at Chris Chelios's Chili Bar in 2008. The
Unreal.
Cup fell off another
That's
table.
That's not a real place.
Chelios's Chili?
Chelios's Chili Cup.
Be serious.
What am I supposed to believe there?
Yeah. It is 100. It's been peed in by a baby. Yeah. Dude, this...
What are we supposed to say to that? How are we... Just...
To celebrate, the Rangers won it, and they also paid off Madison Square Garden in the same year. So to celebrate, they lit a copy of the mortgage papers on fire and put them in the cup. And when it got out of hand, boys, call the fire department. Zip. They just peed on it to put it out. And they didn't win another cup until 1994.
Oh my God, it really did ruin the tour. I was joking.
It did. It did
a lot of babies to put out a Stanley Cup fire.
Mm-hmm. The Canadiens, when they had to change a tire, had to unpack a car, and they left the cup in a ditch in 1924. Just left in it. A baby has pooped in it.
What? Wait, is this
a baby hasn't done in it?
Yeah, this was Detroit Red Wing forward Chris Draper put it.
He was a baby?
Yeah, listen. Champions come in all shapes and forms.
I don't
if
think
you're a hockey player, you're
play
born
hockey.
A hockey player. Yeah.
Their heads are soft.
It has been. It got. Somebody tried to do the almost famous scene with it. Guy Carboneau of the 1999 Dallas Stars.
The rooftop almost famous scene?
And he threw it from the top of a house owned by the drummer for Pantera.
Oh, so that's a pretty literal interpretation of the almost famous.
The most 1999 Dallas thing I have ever heard
Kids,
in my
ask
life.
Ask your parents if they had you at an uncomfortably young age.
Yeah, they threw this thing off the top of Pantera's drummer's roof, and it didn't make it, and it banged on the lip of the pool, and it got damaged. In 1991, Phil Bork heard the cup rattling.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, Pittsburgh Penguin Phil Bork.
So yeah, just say that phrase, that four-word phrase, one more time.
Pittsburgh Penguin Phil Bork.
Now say it in a Yinzer accent.
Pittsburgh Penguin Phil Bork. I can't.
Bork.
Ian's going to go throw some milkshakes at Charlie Batch.
Phil Bork
Charlie
heard
Batch.
A rattling sound and took the cup apart to investigate.
What?
And he found out that repairmen had scratched their names on the inside of the trophy. So Bork did the same.
Took it apart. Like there's a bomb in it?
Yeah, you could take that thing apart.
You gotta defuse the cup. Clip the red wire.
Cut the red wire. The cup.
There's already a Seagal movie about this, right? There's one that takes place in a hockey arena.
Yeah. The cup the whole time is like, I can feel everything.
Oh, God. I would just put googly eyes on it surreptitiously.
Yeah.
At every opportunity.
Yeah.
Raising me gay.
In 1905, the Senators were drunk as fuck, the Ottawa Senators, and decided to see if they could drop kick the Stanley Cup across the canal.
What?
It didn't make it.
Huh.
But the canal was frozen solid.
Did they break
solid.
Their ankles?
That's definitely not the type of kick I would use. I don't
no.
know which kick I would use, but...
Yeah. Has the Stanley Cup been put on the stage at Scores Strip Club in New York and danced around? Yes.
That
Who was
like
responsible for this? Oilers legend Mark Messier.
Sure.
Why is this one the weirdest one to me?
Did they take it to Jumbo's Clown Room?
If LA, I would have to ask the Kings. I'd have to ask if anybody
else. I need to ask the Kings. Okay.
Yeah. Steve Yzerman showered with it, which seems more intimate than any of these things.
Why are you cleaning it? It's supposed to be filthy.
That also seems like, I don't know, man. Like one slip and you've got 7 or 8 cracked bones.
I don't want a clean cup. I want that thing shat in and
I don't
trapped
want to
in a ditch.
Around a giant metal cup in a bathtub.
There are a lot of photos of it swimming. There's a lot of photos of it just...
Spencer, when you say swimming...
I mean...
Like being, with its arms?
Yes, being taken for a swim.
With floaties.
You could put floaties on the little handles.
Uh-huh.
Dogs and horses have both eaten out of it. I fucking love that, though, because the first thing I would do would be like, it is right at... You know what? Come on over here.
I love our college football podcast.
Yeah, and the worst thing that anyone has ever done with it is that Jimmy Fallon did a keg stand out of it.
Get your fucking mouth off it, Jimmy Kimmel.
Gross.
I think it is college football because it's a rivalry trophy between Canada and the rest of the world, and the rest of the world has had it for a very long time.
Yeah. As a society, I would have hoped that we would have evolved past the need for Jimmy Kimmel or the other one. Yes.
Was it Fallon? Did I say Kimmel?
Yeah, no, I meant Fallon. I said
whichever.
Kimmel. But I stand by both of these.
Yeah.
Don't say his name or he'll ruin your joke. By
Candyman.
Yeah. This is my magnificent plan for the NHL is to open an expansion team in Mexico.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they'd be so good.
They'd be great. But
you know, hey, where are they going, Chuck? Galveston, Texas NHL team.
Like Mexico City?
The shores of Galveston.
The shore? That dirty ass water?
And Mexico City.
Yeah, and Mexico City. So that CDMX gets their own team or Monterey.
Atlanta gets 3 teams.
And we give them all to Mexico, right? We're
just
farming.
No, we take them from Canada.
No, we do.
The Atlanta Maple Leafs.
We got those.
Jason, at what point? But where are they going after that? Because remember, we're
done shipping them north. We're going to send 2 to Mexico, and we're keeping 1.
That's fair.
I think we're sending 3 to Mexico. Let's be honest.
No, we're keeping 1 this time.
Be a good improv partner, Spencer.
I will be a good improv partner. Okay, we're keeping 1 of them, Jason. Because we're
also,
in an NHL town.
They're
going to
give
team?
Us another one eventually. They're going to put it in fucking Clemson, but it'll be called Atlanta.
It's going to be in Greenville, South Carolina. And it's going to be called the Atlanta Metro Area.
It's going to be out by one of the Buc-ee's, but.
Oh, dude, the Atlanta Beavers.
Sure.
Did they put a Buc-ee's in Greenville?
No, not yet. Oh.
That's close enough for me to drive just to go to.
Yeah, it's the only way you can drive out of Atlanta without eventually hitting a Buc-ee's.
Let me tell you, I did inspect the Auburn Buc-ee's this weekend.
It's technically in Leeds, isn't it?
Yeah, it's somewhere around there.
Greater Auburn.
I've been there before, and I'm surprised it's not burned to the ground.
Why is that?
By certain Auburn organizations. Because the first thing I saw when I walked in that door, not too long after that one opened, was one of those big like wooden serving trays painted in the Live, Laugh, Love font. And it had a little sunset painted on it. And it said, "As for me and my house, we will serve tacos."
That's whimsical.
And I'm amazed it didn't get firebombed.
I think that's humor that they've sort of decided is close enough.
Auburn, are you quitting? Are you quitting on me?
That's probably what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to point out that this is, of all the Buc-ee's I've been to, it is of the ilk. So the ones in Florida will have fishing gear, or they'll have deep sea fishing gear, or they'll have some kind of, generally, like, they'll be tackle.
Have you ever mapped, like, where the deer stands stop?
Well.
And the fishing gear starts? Because that line's probably like the Arkansas state line, right?
I think so, but I could tell you that they have decided that Auburn, Alabama, y'all ain't going outside. They're like, don't even pretend. Y'all ain't going outdoors.
Well, there's like not a camping section?
No, not that I saw.
Amazing.
These
amazing
tigers are indoor cats.
Yeah, they're like, we know you're just sitting inside and watching HGTV.
Does that mean a second wall of jerky?
From what I can tell, is there a room
of jerky?
A jerky cavern, like a beer cave that's been repurposed for smoked bite-sized meat.
Like when an airport has a contemplation room, but it's full of jerky.
Yeah, yeah, oh, the jerky salon.
Did you just start a church or a new business?
Or yes. Like, or a smoking room, but it's heavily salted meat.
Yeah, I mean, we need to smoke this very particular cigar in here.
Okay, combination vaping chamber and jerky smokehouse.
I'll be in the salt devotional room.
This is our okay. Great Wolf Lodge is taken. So what are we going to call this place?
I'm trying to think of a smoke pun.
Vape Wolf. Oh, I was just going to say Vape Wolf.
Vape.
So are there? Is there?
Oh,
like
the fart wolves are back. Yeah.
Vape Wolf Lodge.
Vape is there wolf a whole wall of like sport drinks if they're not doing sports?
There was. As
well,
far
yeah, because you got to mow. You got to mow the yard.
Okay. So,
yeah, as far as I could tell.
So they're not leaving their premises. That's what it is.
Yeah, as far as I could tell, the great compensation offered for no assumption of outdoor activity or steps taken, right? Like, I think I'm going to start referring to it as that, as like the Buc-ee's step counter. You're like, this is an under 1,000 step day average Buc-ee's expectation. Because
that's how big the Buc-ee's itself is, though. Not blow that up by being so huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a problem there. But whatever.
So setting inside Buc-ee's do not count.
Oh, yeah. This is like the restaurant at the end of the universe. Okay.
Yeah, the Buc-ee's is itself merely a portal of some sort.
I think the additional space was used as an expansion pack for their Live, Laugh, Love section for the tchotchkes. And
that definitely tracks in Leeds.
Yeah, I believe that was what they ended up using it for. Cause
also, to be clear, I want this taco platter or serving tray. Bring it to me. Thank you. Yeah. Somebody in Birmingham, find this. Bring it to us.
As for me and my house, we will eat tacos.
No, we will serve tacos. Oh,
we will serve tacos.
So that
Spencer's
version,
don't understand
Spencer's
this,
version would mean the original Bible verse is "We will eat the Lord."
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is very Catholic.
Bring
yeah,
your ass
is.
Down. Yeah, bring your ass down here. We're going to eat you, Lord.
That's mighty ecumenical of you there.
Greater compliment can you tell somebody than I would like to dine on you.
Is that what you did to my robot?
All right, Hannibal.
In a sense, yeah.
Lecter.
It's a feast for the senses.
I hardly know her. Damn near killed her.
Clarice, I was just paying you a compliment.
Clarice, you should smile. Okay, this is the other thing I want. Somebody bring it to me. I want Buffalo Bill's face on a t-shirt, and it just says you should smile more.
Hmm. Yeah.
No, wait, we did this at one point. Was it Kylo Ren?
Mm-hmm.
We had Kylo Ren in a graphic, and it just said, you should smile more.
Yeah. Yes. 100%.
Simpler times. Hey, speaking of Alabama, y'all want to do a little podcast business?
Why, sure. Podcast business. What's a business? Podcast business. What's a business? Podcast business. I'm not on the beat, but I'm working toward it. There it is, I'm on it, and we're going to talk some business. All right.
Hmm. 1 month from when this episode drops, I'm pretty sure that we will be in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost positive that an attempt will be made on July 26th for us to be in Oregon. If you're hearing this for the first time, you can't go. Because it's sold out, but we're going to be there.
This is just a taunting edition of podcast business.
This is taunting because Ryan first brought this up as like a ha-ha, wouldn't it be stupid if, and it's my favorite idea that any of us have ever had, doing a doubleheader in Portland at the planetarium at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry.
That's right.
If you'd like us to take over your planetarium, please email shutdownfullcast@gmail.com. Then after that, the next show after that would be Raleigh, right?
That's right.
Week zero.
That's right.
And I really hate this two-word phrase, and it's very hard for me to say it without shuddering, but we're in it now. There is a podcast festival, which frankly just sounds awful.
Why is
that? Except that everybody in it is us and our friends. So give it a shot. This is in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is week zero.
Yes, this is. I have a way around this, Holly.
Mm-hmm. And they can go to preownedairboats.com. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. They can get some tickets. I encourage you to. Also, I'm just telling everybody, when you get hung up on the notion of a podcast festival or something, I could be like, it's the Shutdown Fullcast live with Knocked Loose. Is Knocked Loose going to be there? No, I'm just saying live with Knocked Loose. That doesn't mean they're going to be there.
But Hand in the Dirt's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So along something's getting knocked loose because Michael Felder's going to be in the building.
That's right.
I say we just lean into the festivalness. Y'all show up with glow sticks and like.
There we go. Yeah,
that's nothing but Band-Aids. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just something about putting the words podcast and festival together, and I'm just like, Mikey Barbaro is going to show up in the mirror, and I'm going to punch the mirror real hard.
And then he's trapped in there forever. Nice work.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe this won't be so bad. After that, we are returning to if Atlanta is our spiritual home for live shows and our equivalent of playing a home game, and Ann Arbor is like our lake house, our second place to play home games.
Mm-hmm.
I think our step lake house probably has to be Birmingham. Don't you guys agree?
Maybe it's our.
It's not a beach house.
It's our. what is it? The Winter Palace or whatever.
It's the Winter Palace.
It's the Winter Palace now, and that.
Or it's our. It's our Terracotta Army, or. The Forbidden
Winter Palace,
Palace
makes sense, or maybe Winter Palace would make more sense for Michigan on account of it's very cold up there.
Our super luxe duck blind, we got a Blackstone in there and everything.
Anyway, we're playing the equivalent of a home game. We're hitting for. We're trying to hit all of our favorite spots this summer. We've done Atlanta for Jason's book launch. Spencer and I went up to Ann Arbor to do a little hangout with this year's winning Charity Bowl team.
So did Jane and Ace and I. We have
the video of that just went up, didn't it?
Sure did.
Where can we find that?
Why, that's on my YouTube, no less.
Hell yes. And then we have, Jason, would you care to describe our October appearance?
That would be
as we have it planned.
October 3rd in Birmingham, Alabama, at an event presented by Furnace Fest and amid various other Furnace Fest events. It is separately ticketed for those who are interested in coming to just our event, though you could also throw it in, obviously, with other fest-related events. Knocked Loose is also not at that, but lots of bands that sound pretty similar to Knocked Loose will be. Someone just threw up. I hope they recover.
Thank you, Barf Heaven.
that's my band. Barf Heaven.
We know.
Yeah. And we'll probably do music disasters for that one. Folks have already started asking, where can I send my marching band disaster? We will let you know as we get closer to that time.
Make sure it's short. Make sure it's funny.
And those tickets are available.
Into our email.
Those tickets are available at, you know, it's easy to find. The internet.
The internet.
Let's go back to talking about professional hockey, unless you have a business, Spencer.
I do. Hey, we run a little thing called the Channel 6 newsletter. Yes, and we've had a very busy summer for Channel 6. I now have my new policy of I don't know shit about football until August 1st. And even then, it might be optional afterwards to not know shit. But we'll definitely start talking about it anyway. But before then, we have a couple of little things we have to pack up and do. A couple of little trips we have to take. One, just took one to France. You can read about us going to Le Mans with good friend of the show, Brian Floyd. You'll hear his actual voice on a series of diaries we did from there.
Or what do you mean? We hear it every week. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This is what people mean when they say you're not paying attention to other people on the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, Brian. No, I didn't mean that either. Apologies. But we're also going to be doing this. This Friday, I'm going to be taking a trip to Mongolia. Mongolia! Why on earth would you go to Mongolia besides a lifelong fear of deep water and an ability and desire to get as far away from deep water as possible? Friend, that's because there is a sporting festival there called Nadam. It is the Festival of the Three Manly Arts. It's going to take place July 14th. Yours truly will be there.
What are the manly arts?
The manly arts are wrestling.
Needlepoint.
Archery. Well, archery is kind of like needlepoint.
It is like needlepoint, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, I would say it's fully activated needlepoint. And horse racing. All three of these take place on a single day in a festival high on the steppes of Central Asia. A great traditional festival contest undertaking competition, what have you. I'll be there. I'm going to write about it. We're going to talk about it. And I am being joined by another very special guest for this one. No, not Brian Floyd. He got to go to France for this one.
You have to take a Brian.
I have to take a Brian. So this time I got Brian Phillips.
A Brian with an I must be.
Yeah, Brian with an I. So Brian Phillips will be joining me for this leg of the trip. I am extremely excited about this. And you get to read along and listen along to all of it if you subscribe to Channel 6, just $10 a month for two things a week that I guarantee you cannot get anywhere else.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Podcast business. Podcast business.
It's concluded.
We should play it backwards. Business.
Then the business done. All right. Excellent.
Anyway, also at this mall across the street from the Panthers, the hockey champions arena, there's a Shake Shack. There's a Cheesecake Factory. It's just an outlet mall, ass outlet mall, man. It's American greatness.
That again, the home of hockey, American greatness, outlet mall, and then literally the Everglades National Park.
And then like a long drive to Miami.
Yeah. Then a very sunrise. We did it. We did it, baby. I do have one report from South Alabama where I was over the weekend visiting family. And I will tell you this, I did the cool thing. Nobody, if you look at sports ratings, what city is consistently number one for everything? Just in terms of we watch anything that y'all put on that TV if it involves a ball or
Birmingham.
A puck. It's Birmingham. It's
Birmingham. Always Birmingham. College sports, at least.
Like, Birmingham has some of the highest rates. I hate to say this. Birmingham has some of the highest ratings for everything except the NBA. Mm. Like, yeah. But college baseball was on, and I was watching it on a TV outdoors, and I turned that TV off for a second or muted it, and I did not have to mute it because I could hear it on every other TV.
The botnet. The baseball botnet.
Did this give you like a frisson of fear, or was it more of a sense of community?
It was more a sense of community, but also like, it was funny because if anything happened, I really could have just turned off the TV and listened to the neighbors, mm-hmm. right? Because you'd hear like, oh, dang. Ow, cow. Commentary was not necessary. It was being provided by everybody within a 300 to 400 yard earshot anyway, right? And you could tell whose stream was a little bit behind because you hear like, whee! Three, two, one. Woo!
Yeah, there goes the cable. And then a minute later, YouTube TV has caught up.
Yeah, exactly. You could tell who had cable and who was streaming. It was
Mine was still
hilarious.
About 15 seconds behind. It used to be a good 45.
It's getting better. It's significantly getting better.
I don't know. I like it because I'm always like, oh, everyone's yelling. I guess I better pay attention. I'm going to see something cool.
Thanks for the heads up. This is the making shitty internet work for your life.
Yeah.
Hack.
Yeah. I'd better steal myself for something crazy.
I have done that. That's come in handy watching Florida where you go.
Brace for impact.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When it's a team that you have an investment in and you know they suck, like, yeah, on NFL Sundays, it's like, you know, LMAO Falcons. And I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. Here we fucking go. I'm about to see someone I've never seen before.
It's great for multitasking.
What are we going to do with this onside kick?
Yeah, hold on. A new low.
Worst Falcons thing I've ever seen.
I'll be the judge of that.
I just see you going up like the cartoon gourmand, you know, from the French kitchen, right? Like, one moment, please.
Rubbing the ashes together.
Not bad. Not bad. Well, very bad, but not bad.
Just the end scene from Ratatouille, instead of the fond childhood memory, it's you as an 8-year-old watching Jamal Anderson get concussed.
I also get like that thing where, you know, the stat will pop up and it'll be like, you know, no team has ever blown a lead of this magnitude with 5 seconds left. And I see that at the same time that I see the LMAO Falcons tweets.
You go, this is something special. Oh.
What an experience. Now we spent $1 billion on two quarterbacks.
That's great. You know what's better than one quarterback, Jason? That's right. Two quarterbacks.
Two old quarterbacks.
Vintage.
Jason, did you see the photo of Arthur Blank with his Falcon? Or the painting?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Just hanging out in the background like no one would notice.
Have you ever seen an image that shook your confidence in another human being more?
It's fine. I don't know what else I'd expect. The man gave a lot of money to the zoo. I guess that's how that happened.
So they just gave him...
Here's your Falcon, sir.
Yeah, here you go. Here's a picture of you with the Falcon. And you're like... Because if somebody gave me that, where would you hang that up in your house? I might hang it up in my bathroom.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. I have it on the ceiling of my bedroom as motivation.
Yeah. The Peregrine Chapel.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, there was I believe it was the signing of Michael Penix. There were handshakes being had, and there were photos being taken in the Falcons' offices. And in the background, for just a moment, they didn't even have to linger on it that long, but for just a moment, there was a picture of this enormous portrait of Arthur Blank with a Falcon on his arm, right? Like holding the Falcon.
I wonder how long that shit's been there. And Arthur's always been like, so where should we stand for the photo? Hey, you know, and every time people are like, gosh, that's creepy. And finally talk someone into it.
Yeah. I'm not taking my picture in front of that. That's got to suck. you know, that was probably the impetus for one of his divorces. It's like, I'm going to put up the picture. I bet. No, seriously, I bet it was like, I bet that's the kind of thing that does it. You know, you're like, I want to put up the picture of me with a falcon. And she's like, I'm out. I'm
Bernie, Bernie Marcus didn't like the falcon painting. So that's it. That's it.
Bernie Marcus made fun of my falcon painting. That's why we don't talk anymore. That's rich guy shit when you're like, so what determined your actions? My feelings got a little bit hurt over an ugly knickknack that I have. So.
And I didn't like his painting of him with a whale shark.
Yeah.
So that was that.
He just, him fuming at the club being like, Bernie with his stupid whale painting.
Stupid fucking whale shark.
My falcon painting is much better than his.
It costs so much more money.
I bet we're quoting. I bet we're not even making this up. When you're rich and you've solved the basic problems of survival and existence, this is the kind of thing that gets your blood pumping, right?
I'll have that painter executed for making me look older than 29 years old.
That's it, yeah.
Bring him to my chambers.
Make me look senatorial, but not like a cadaver. Enough of a fine patina of age so that I still seem virile, but also like I have a really good credit rating.
I don't look rich enough yet.
Wealthier. Wealthier.
The bird should look grateful.
That's the part that I'm like, what expression? Because the bird does kind of look like he's like, wow, I'm on Arthur Blank's sleeve.
It's an honor to be soaking
this up
your
honor,
wisdom.
Mr. Blank.
Sir, you're so strong. I feel weightless, like I'm already flying.
I just feel like together we're soaring. That's really what's happening here.
Sir, I'm a falcon, but you're an angel.
We're both things with wings, and that's what counts. Meanwhile, he's signing his second quarterback.
Signing a 25-year-old rookie.
They're going to do it again before the season starts.
And all jokes are nothing against Michael Penix. We love Michael Penix.
Yeah, we love
and
Michael
I'm
Penix.
Delighted that I'm delighted that he plays for my team. Well, practices for my team.
Meanwhile, Kirk Cousins goes home every night and is like, please, God, strike down Michael Penix. Please. Gentlemen, I'm assuming that Holly, because she is a woman, would have had
oh,
at least
boy.
Decent ideas about decorating and putting a house together and things that a house needs.
Oh, your dad is so busted.
Uh-huh. So
you want to tell them how you found this out?
I will in a moment.
No,
but
wait. Lay it out and see if they come to the same conclusion.
All right, I will, but I'm redirecting the question real quick.
Okay.
Will Levis, 25 years old, has bought a house. What does he not have in there?
Anything but a PS5.
Anything on the walls except for a giant American flag that has a deer silk screened onto the middle of it that is tacked over the couch.
Yeah, you need that.
Dude. I'm calling it an American flag and not a Confederate flag because I'm trying to be optimistic.
How many placings does he have? Like, how many places can he set at a dinner table?
Well, what's in the packet drawer?
He's just how got
many,
like...
How many little of those little like sets does he have in the packet drawer?
Hey, Catfish, you have to use the chopsticks for payway tonight.
Has he run those through the dishwasher?
Yeah, he's probably run them through the takeout containers. Hey guys, you know, I don't throw them out. You can just keep using them.
This is coming from, I have a deep wealth of knowledge to draw on here because in my junior year of college, I only needed housing for fall semester because I was going on study abroad in spring semester. And you can't do, there. Tennessee's housing was set up in an idiotic way at the time where you couldn't do single semester housing. So I got an apartment with my brother and two of his frat brothers. And we had a deal, which was that I would clean the kitchen and keep it under control. And they would clean the entire rest of the apartment, including my bathroom. And this actually worked out beautifully. But one of the things that I learned in this semester of living with fraternity that I'm not even going to mention here was that boys of this age will either have, you can either have paper towels or toilet paper in the house, but not both. Never both.
Well, yeah, they're redundant. They do the
never
same
both,
thing.
Mm-hmm. Never both, and also never Kleenex under any circumstances.
That's just face toilet paper.
Toilet paper? I'm not a bitch. That's what a paper towel is for.
I wonder what I do wonder
just
what
use
like
shop towels.
I don't know how many people actually buy these and whether it's just market saturation of the commercials, but I do wonder what the rise, at least in knowledge of, if not use of, dude wipes has done to this particular equation.
Hmm.
Like, are they using dude wipes in the kitchen?
Oh, well, definitely. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Clean off this pizza box with this dude wipe and we can use it again as a plate.
I'm just gonna put myself out there for embarrasser right now. I use dude wipes to clean so many.
Come on.
No. Like now, in my life now, use dude wipes for all sorts of things.
Wait, what? Whoa. List the uses of dude wipes. Go on.
I mean, some of these might be really good uses.
Like my laptop.
They're basically baby wipes, right?
I think so. My laptop, the outside of it was dirty, and I was like, we'll see. And it cleaned it really good.
Okay.
The laptop where you
shit out all the words.
Yep. I wash my face with them all the time. Don't judge me.
I didn't say anything.
This is a tree of trust.
I didn't say anything. I was making a curious face.
Sometimes I clean my face off with them when I feel like there's.
I'm going to turn the camera off until you're done saying this. Does that make you feel better?
Okay. Yep, it does.
Now it's just a little figment dragon looking at him being like, the laptop?
Now it's the avatar. Avatar looks shocked.
Yeah, the avatar doesn't help. There have been multiple times that, like, there's just been a packet of dude wipes out, and, like, the counter needed to be wiped down, and that's what I used to do it with.
So in place of, like, they have replaced electronics wipes, Clorox wipes. We got lots of kinds of wipes now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't listen. This is fine.
Okay.
Have you ever wrung one out to water a plant?
No.
Hey, there's an idea.
But only because you don't have plants.
Give the tribe. You know what I would do? I'd be like, the tribe needs its water.
Ooh, this is going to be a fun. That's horrifying. This would be a fun experiment. I would go to Home Depot and just buy like. Nothing extravagant, but like a hanging basket of petunias and just leave it on the doorstep with like a welcome to the neighborhood card and just see what happens to that plant. And then when it disappears, put a new one up there.
Just
see what happens to that one.
So we'll monitor the situation. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there watching Cerber ring out a dude wipe into a house plant and I pop up, go, Lisan al Gaib! He knows our ways.
I used the fresh mint chill one on my mint.
Oh, it's you're returning it from whence it came.
Yeah. Yeah. See? This is brilliant.
Have you used one as rolling paper?
No, come on.
What do you mean, come on?
Like a dried out one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
After you wring it out.
Why is that unreasonable?
After you wring it out into your coffee, then... Use it as a
delicious peppermint mocha.
Yeah, you're right.
Try it.
Yeah, okay, I will.
Yeah. Now the spirit of adventure has possessed you. You're like, oh, why not?
Listen, I'm not making fun. If America refuses to embrace bidets, which I think is also something else we talked about on Channel 6 this spring, then at least we are trying to make cultural strides towards clean buttholes.
100%.
That can only improve us long term. In the Intergalactic Senate.
Mm-hmm. The civilization doesn't have warp drive. However, they do have bidets.
What's that judge? What's that governing body that decides whether or not we're ready to join the rest of the universe? That thing.
Yeah, they would be like, they do have bidets, though. Well, we need to take this to committee.
We're rapturing all of Japan. The rest of you can sit tight until you clean up your acts.